though.
About Point Break, though.
Not that new shitty one that I still haven't seen. But the classic. The Point. Keanu classic.
Point Not So Break.
Shit. Should have called that Special Ops 2. Special Opper. He doesn't want to laugh. He doesn't want to laugh.
Don't laugh. It wasn't
I
good.
Liked it. I can't. Awful. I can't hide it. Welcome to Dicks and Vaginas, everybody.
I really want to call that the name of the episode.
Maybe. We can now.
But
Mike said it.
Yeah.
Now it's canon.
Oh, no. Now we gotta go back in time to fix it.
Almost all like right. It's a dark fate.
First things first.
We're gonna watch the
Face Off.
First things first. Comes naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I'm Cody. Welcome to this week's episode, everybody. That is an actual intro this time.
Yeah.
Not an intro outro like last time. Anyways, what are you gonna say, Mike?
Face Off.
You wanna do that first?
Yes.
You don't wanna go into the thing we just watched?
Nah, we get that at the end. That's what the people are here for. We're gonna give them some bullshit first. Make them stick around for some it reviews.
They're here for the Face Off remix.
Get through the other stuff first, yeah.
Yeah, man.
Gotta get through the good stuff before we get to the meat and potatoes.
This is like having
a what's this Face Off thing?
All right. Well,
how did this come about first?
Face Off is a movie that came out in roughly 1997, starring the incomparable Nicolas Cage and also John Travolta, because I couldn't think of another adjective to use. directed by John Woo, right?
Yeah.
It was one of his crazy flicks.
Yes, sir.
Ridiculous action movie with a ridiculous premise, which originally was slotted to be the first big movie, or the actual first time Stallone and Schwarzenegger were going to be in a movie together. Mm-hmm. That was their vehicle for a couple years. And things fell apart for whatever reasons. So we lost that awesomeness for the awesomeness of Nick Cage and John Travolta overacting the shit out of a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And it is not a good movie, but at the same time, it is a great movie. Because they're never going to make a movie that fucking crazy again with actors that
fucking crazy?
Yeah. Like, it's just not. Because both Nick Cage and John Travolta in like real life are probably batshit crazy. I would imagine.
Nowadays,
I
don't know him.
Definitely Nick Cage.
Yeah, well, and I think lately, he might be the.
And lately, John Travolta.
He might just be really good acting. Yeah. And just make people think he's crazy.
So, a couple days ago.
When you go searching for the Holy Grail on your own, buy giant dinosaur heads.
I mean, he was trying to. He was method acting, dude. He thought he was prepping for the new National Treasure movie.
Oh, okay.
He's like, we're going to do a third one, right?
Yeah, and this one was like, The Secret Truth of Dinosaurs.
He's like, we're going to make it eventually a crossover to Indiana Jones, and I'll be the new Indiana Jones.
Oh, my God. Make it happen. I'll watch it. Anyway, so a couple of days ago, or like a week ago, whenever it was, the internet was like, hey, internet.
Literally Monday.
We're gonna reboot Face Off. And, like, no other details. They're like, but we're making a new Face Off.
Well, it has a producer and a writer.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean anything.
Fair enough.
They could probably change writers 4 or 5 times.
Fair enough.
I thought, as we are ones to do, we should throw out premises and take a stab at casting this bad boy. Seeing as how this show is kind of right up our alley. Like, this is our kind of shit.
Yeah.
It's like 90s action movies are our jam. So I just wanted to see what are some thoughts. And also, the most important thing, in my opinion, is do they go balls to the wall with it, or do they try to ground it down a little bit more?
Crazy.
I fucking hope so, but I don't think they got the cojones to do that.
I don't know. Hollywood. Crazy, I guess.
It was just, have you ever seen the behind the scenes of Travolta and Nick Cage filming stuff?
No.
There is a wonderful clip that was floating around, and I've seen multiple of them, but this was like kind of recently, which is weird. It made its rounds, and then like short, like 2 weeks later, they announced that they're redoing it. Of the scene where, and forgive me because I forgot the names, but Nick Cage is in that prison in the magnetic boots, and he's up there, and John Travolta shows up, and Nick Cage thought he was dead. It's the first time seeing him, and so John Travolta's circling around him, and
because at this point they already have their faces swapped.
Yeah, so he's talking to him, and he's telling him what he's gonna do, and he tells him he's gonna fuck his wife, and like, and it's so fucking crazy. And then Nick Cage just grabs him by the throat and yells, like, just starts screaming, "Die!" Mm-hmm. The behind the scenes footage of that is so much more crazy than the actual scene itself, because like it continues after they hit cut and Nick Cage is all like, "Are you okay?" And Travolta is just loving it. He's like, "That was fucking great." He's so excited about it. And Cage is all fucking happy.
We
with
got
it.
Crazy Cage. Yay. Yeah.
And then Nick Cage is, I can't remember who told the story, but there's a, fuck, one of them said that they saw, no, okay, so it was John Travolta saw Nick Cage's first scene that he shot as what would be himself, the bad guy in the movie, and John Travolta had this famous line, it's like, "Oh, we're doing that kind of acting for it," and then got real excited because he had like a whole different direction he was going to go, like a more grounded, more like menacing thing. So he's like, "Oh, we're going over the top with it. Let's fucking go." And they was off to the races. So I don't think this movie should work at all. But if it does, it's only going to work if they go batshit crazy again. I'm really hoping they do that.
Okay.
So Cody
apparently has waiting. Some big
because he didn't want to talk about this, but I put it in his head, and he obviously.
Well, we'll go to Cody. Do you have your own idea of everything, though?
I didn't. Well, this the only thing I was doing was just the casting.
Yeah, I was thinking casting. I was thinking some directional things they can.
So what happened with me is I was trying to think. At first, I was going to go through and cast like the mains, and I was like a bunch of them. That I was like, you know what, I'm going to do. This is what I did differently. Is like, I'm going to cast the two main characters. So I used to use the name Sean Archer and Caster Troy because those were John Travolta's name and Nicolas Cage's character's name. I was like, I'll just do that. And then I'm going to do different age ranges. And so I did a younger set, an older set, just in case you want to go younger or older with them. I did an African-American version and a female version.
Fucking awesome. Because I just got a bunch of actors I want in it. So give me all of them.
Okay, so younger white actors. For Sean Archer, which is the John Travolta character, we have James McAvoy.
Okay.
For the young Caster Troy, is we have Taron Egerton.
Don't like it.
Why?
I don't like Joel Egerton.
Yeah, you do? You're thinking of Joel, not Taron. Taron Egerton is from Kingsman?
Warrior?
No, that's Joel. That's Edgerton.
I was thinking of the Fantastic Four guy. Who's that? Miles Turner?
Miles Turner?
Yeah, I don't know why I thought of Miles Turner. But that's who I pictured. I was like, fuck that guy.
No.
First off, you love that guy.
I don't.
He was amazing in Whiplash.
Okay. I haven't seen that, so.
So I didn't say the names Miles Teller at all.
No, but in my head, that's who I got.
So
okay, you the Kingsman guy is who you're talking about.
Yeah.
All right, I dig that. That's not bad.
Jesus Christ. This is already the worst thing we've ever done.
Yeah. Remember that time we argued about Superman and you refused to post the episode?
Yeah.
And then I convinced you like a year later to post it. You're like, "This is the stupidest fucking thing. Makes no sense." It's because my point of view was right and your argument was wrong. No, not at all.
Anyways.
I don't even remember that episode. What was that episode?
I don't know. I gotta go back and find it.
His bullshit theory that anybody could wear, they should be able to figure out who he is just because of a pair of glasses. It doesn't matter. It was years ago.
It was a really dumb argument.
It's pretty true.
Well, in a way, but that's not
the point. I don't even remember what side I took on it.
You took several.
I'm pretty sure all my sides were more correct than your side. And that's why you're upset and you shelved it for a year.
Probably.
Anyhow. So then the older set would be Woody Harrelson as Sean Archer, who is the John Travolta character, and then Sam Rockwell as Caster Troy. Who's the Nicolas Cage character?
Oh, Sam Rockwell can do crazy so well too. What is that? But 7 Psychopaths.
You get to do both. You get to do both though, because both of them get to have.
Yeah, that's equal. the weird part is you remember it's like who you want to be the bad guy is actually the good guy most of the movie.
Yeah.
So it's like a weird thing, like. Because, like, in the original, Nick Cage got to be crazy bad guy Nick Cage for a little bit. And then he was, like, boring good guy trying to fix everything. And then John Travolta got to be crazy bad guy. It gets confusing when you're trying to, like, think about the casting. So remember, whoever you want, just think bad guy, good guy. And then they're going to get a little bit of run as the opposites.
Yeah.
For a
All right, so that was the white version. The African American version, the younger ones. I have two sets of younger ones. Sean Archer, the John Travolta character, is Lakeith Stanfield. He's from he's been in a bunch of stuff, but the one you're gonna know him from was Get Out. He was the one that was his friend that he found out had the brain swap first. Yeah. You know, that was the boyfriend of the old lady. So him, because he's been in a couple things I've seen, and he's actually really good.
Okay.
And then the opposite him is Caster Troy, the Nicolas Cage character, is Michael B. Jordan.
Okay.
And I did a lot of this is same age range, roughly, but also same height, because that's the number one thing that's going to ruin this, is if you ever get them face off, like get it really face off, and they're next to each other, you need to be roughly the same height and stuff, because otherwise it just would be
movie bad. Magic.
They got away with that in the original.
Face Tom Cruise though. Is 4 foot two.
A couple times. Rewatch it. There'll be a couple times where you'll notice.
Yeah, but there's a big no, difference. That's what I'm saying. They're gonna be better about it now.
Yeah, but we're doing this better, Joe.
Fine. I mean, I don't know why you have to.
Because that's how I do things. The second set of young African American actors, Sean Archer, the John Travolta one, is Daniel Kalau. I can't remember how to say his last name. And then the Caster Troy, the Nicolas Cage is Donald Glover. So those were the two sets of young. The older African American ones, Sean Archer, again, the John Travolta one, would be Idris Elba, and the Caster Troy would be Chadwick Boseman. Because I think it would be fun to see those two, A, opposite each other, but also play off each other in that way.
It's funny, and because one of my initial ones was the Black Panther casting. I wanted Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan.
I thought that too. Other,
just because I love their chemistry so much.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, if they just were face to face an entire movie,
or face off.
Oh my god,
an entire movie would be a lot of fun.
And then the last one, which is I put on here, gender bent, basically, you know, female version, is the John Travolta version of it would be Alexander Daddario, and then the Caster Troy would be Margot Robbie.
Okay.
So the straight-laced one would be Alexander Daddario, and then the crazy one would be Margot Robbie. And then, obviously, during that, they would be switching back and forth. Those were mine. Like I said, all I did was the main two, because to me, that's kind of like the bulk of it. The rest of it you can put in there.
As long as Margaret Cho's still in it, because I still think that's the weirdest casting in a movie ever.
Pretty strange.
Yeah. So she's a random stand-up comedian that just happened to be in that movie. In a fairly large role.
Yeah.
Really weird. I like all of those. I really like Woody Harrelson and Sam Rockwell together. I dig that a lot. I have a couple. Again, Chadwick Boseman and Michael B. Jordan would be amazing. I also had this weird idea to have Brad Pitt and Matthew McConaughey do it.
You could wrangle McConaughey, yes.
I don't want him wrangled.
No, I mean wrangled in like, where he actually puts a good performance free. In. No, like, you could do that, but if you need him to run, you need him to have a good performance out of him.
Cage-free Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, cage-free McConaughey, no, man.
That could be bad news.
It could be. That would be awesome. And then I was trying to, because I kind of fell into this too as I was doing it. I was trying to match up body types. And I was like, you don't really have to, but it was hard for me not to think about that. What?
I'm still thinking of cage-free Matthew McConaughey.
It's a good line, dude. That's one of your better ones. But I think yeah, cage-free McConaughey and Brad Pitt would be amazing. Because I just like Brad Pitt. I want Brad Pitt to be the one being crazy most of the time.
Yeah, I think it's why you make him the...
Yeah, so you... The bad guy.
Yeah.
It's... We try to explain it every single time. It'd be so weird. Another one is I thought it would be interesting if there was one black guy, one white guy. And they do a swappy swap. Because then...
And that wouldn't really be a face-off, because you wouldn't be able to put...
No, you do Tropic Thunder.
Yeah. You can do... Yikes. Skin.
I mean, we're going for crazy this, zany.
This technology doesn't exist anyway, so
right? Well, because I was thinking if you knew that.
Because in the first one, they changed body types. They made Travolta chubby.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's because
they make Nick Cage chubby to be Travolta. This goddamn movie is going to be so great and so easy to follow.
Yep.
But there's a couple... They want, and because obviously, Idris Elba would be great, but I would really like to, if you're doing one black guy, one white guy, I was trying to think of who else would go head to head with Idris Elba. And I was coming up because I didn't want to use the same actors a bunch of times, but I really liked the idea of him and Brad Pitt.
Okay.
But I've been thinking a lot about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, and so Brad Pitt is kind of just keeps sneaking into all my fantasy casting for everything, and I'm like, God damn it.
Yeah, all his fantasy casting.
Yeah, all those. We both did it at the same time. It was gross.
Fantasy. But,
yeah, so exactly. What did you think,
fantasy,
Cody?
All the way to the finish.
Would you ground it a little bit? Would you have... Like, do you have, like, a loose story premise, or are you going straight story from the original?
In a way, I was going to do the story from the original. Again, I didn't go too far into it, because I wasn't really thinking that far. But, I mean...
We might have to write this thing.
The story from the original isn't terrible.
Okay.
Right? Like, sure. there's a bomb, right? And he needs... The only way to stop it is to have him convince his brother to turn it off, right? Mm-hmm. So... The other key casting I was trying to think of is who really be good for the brother or the sibling in the point. I mean, it could still be a brother even in the female version because, well, that doesn't actually have to matter.
Well, you need them to interact in prison, so they have to be the same sex as...
I mean, we're talking about a movie you do face-off. You could have co-edish areas.
I guess it's not a shot-for-shot remake, huh?
Yeah. We're not doing it. We're not
in
doing
my head, I was like, why would a woman be in this max security prison that's all men?
They did an escape plan. Love those movies.
Which one?
I've only seen the first one. There's that community. You see there's men and women there.
Oh, okay.
They're just not like always next to each other.
All right. Well, as long as Batista's in it. This could be the opportunity to finally get Batista and The Rock together, too. And I've been dying to see that shit happen. Even though Batista kind of throws shade at his kind of shit, but...
This is because he wants to prove that so he was like, oh, well, let's do a movie together. I'm like, yeah, it worked. Reverse psychology. You think I hated it, but I want to be in this.
Because then they could be roughly the same size. I don't know. I haven't seen them next to each other since like WrestleMania 22 or whatever. But they both changed their body types enough where you can get pretty much, I'm guessing, the exact same size on both of them.
Mm-hmm.
The tattoos go away real easy, so that's fine.
Yeah.
Who has tattoos?
So, just kidding. Either one of them. But that would be the ultimate like meathead 80s. Like, if we were in the 80s, that would be your Stallone Schwarzenegger right there.
Because the thing with Face Off, you don't technically have to do, like, they did the actual physical face off.
Yeah.
You know, it was a metaphor as well as a physical thing.
To a skull.
Yeah, well, they laid it on a thing that heated it so it stayed.
And also, how great was the scene where Nick Cage leans forward and you could see the reflection in the doctor's glasses and he says, I'll give you one fucking guess. And his face is all bloody and gross because he doesn't have a face. I love that shit. That was the best. That was the most realistic scene is that they didn't put the good guy's face on the bad guy's body. They're like, why are we going to do all this work? He's not going to wake up. And they just put it in like a fridge or something.
Uh-huh.
And then, but I think it would have been cool if they just destroyed it. And then you have like a fucking Joker, Scott Snyder style, and they had to strap a face on.
Mike just wanted to say the word strap on.
Strap on.
Strap on. Face strap on.
Anyway, I'm excited. I hope it happens.
Joe?
I couldn't care one way or another if this thing happens.
Fucking
or not.
Debbie Downer.
This is not a movie that I sit there and go, oh yeah, I've really wanted a remake of this thing for like so fucking long. Mm-hmm. And I almost guarantee you that if they do a remake of it, if this does actually go through, we're probably not going to see it in theaters. At least I probably won't see it in theaters.
He says,
I'm just making the call right now based off of like some of the movies that even have released this year that I have been like, you know, oh, the you know, probably good to go see in theaters, and then just
well, it's because we're getting old and poor, so we can't go see everything again.
This is probably true. Because yeah. I wanted to see Men in Black, and we never went and saw that one in theaters.
That's true.
That was part of that was me being apprehensive because it kind of looked like it was gonna be terrible.
Yeah, but I tend not to pay attention to that.
We know
because we wouldn't have gone to see Ghostbusters
or anything starring a woman
Wow,
because you're pretty sexist.
Because I was the one that was all gun ho, like let's give it a chance.
We went and saw it.
Yeah, and it turned out to be really good.
But if you guys wanted to go see Men in Black so bad, I would have gone like normal.
Yeah. but no, the timing I think just also didn't work out. Just it was like, but anyway, that's what I'm saying. Like this type of movie would fall into that space. You know, it's not something I probably would end up like going to see. I probably end up seeing it on HBO. But if you're asking me like what are my opinions on casting and whatnot, I have no fucking clue. You just threw this on me. I like to research this stuff and take time to do things. And then throw it all together at the last minute because I forgot. So honestly, you know, all the people that you guys threw out sound really nice. Although I think from a plot point of view, when you mention it, like what would you want to do for a plot? I don't know if I would want to see it go all zany and stuff. I think if you could do some sort of like spy thriller, it'd probably be better to me.
I mean... Yeah, there's that option too.
Yeah, and that's what I'm just saying for myself. You know, you could literally be like, the Russians are trying to infiltrate the something the United States wise, and so they do a face off type thing, and then for some reason the good guy, the American spy, has to somehow get back and convince everybody else that the dude that they face swapped with is not really him, you know. It'd be a lot more interesting movie, and you could probably play it more straightforward, even though you have that first little bit of weirdness with the face-off technology. Yeah, that's my opinion. You know, you don't need to be jumping on, because that was the one where they're jumping on a train to stop it, or was that Broken Arrow?
That's Broken Arrow.
That's Broken Arrow.
See,
the bomb was inside the building.
Christian Slater's finest work, by the way.
I don't know why.
Did you see Robin Hood?
I confuse parts of those two movies all
That's
the time.
Fair. I can give you shit for that. One has Howie Long in it. One doesn't. That's what I remember.
Which one is that? I don't know.
The one where he pops out of the water with the axe, right?
No, that was Firestarter.
Yeah, it was.
Firestorm.
Sorry. There you go, Firestorm.
Broken Arrow is the one with Howie Long.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
He was so good in it. Someone was like, give this man a movie about fires and storms.
Storms.
He was so good in it.
Yeah.
Obviously, he got a fucking lead in a theatrical release movie afterwards. He must have been okay.
You may need to rewatch Broken Arrow sober, Mike.
Hmm.
Because you may rethink that.
I'm not telling you my opinion. I'm telling you what actually happened. He got a leading role in a theatrical release movie after being in Broken Arrow. Somebody must have liked him.
I don't think that correlates very well, but whatever.
Mike said it does, though.
He is stating a fact, I think, at least.
If he was so terrible.
Because I don't know when those movies came out.
If he was so terrible. they were 2 years apart.
Yeah. See? Someone saw fucking Broken Arrow. They're like, let's make this happen.
Howie Long guy.
And he loved football, so they're like, all right.
He was also in 3,000 Miles to Graceland. And a movie called Dollar for the Dead. Again, it's not. Ready to Rumble, David Arquette's final word. It goes this way. Number one, Ready to Rumble. Number two, 3,000 Miles to Graceland. Number three,
Eight-Legged
Freaks. That's the one.
Don't look at me.
And then all the Scream movies he did, because I think he's like in 19 of them. He might just be in two of them. I don't remember. He might be in one of them. How many of those is he in? How many Scream movies did he do?
All of them, right?
Was he in all of them?
I think he did all of them. I think he was the one guy that was around for all of them.
He might have. No clue, though.
I like how I put David A, and he's literally the second one that shows up.
Because you search for him a lot?
I'm on Wikipedia, so it doesn't really keep your history.
Nah, your computer does.
Well, yes, but that doesn't affect Wikipedia search.
He's been 136 things. It's fucking crazy.
He also has 3 championships, so, I mean, in wrestling.
David Arquette?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. He was the world heavyweight champion for like a week.
Yeah.
A lot of people say it's the reason WCW got fucking shut down. But
it means they're not wrong, but Scream 2, Scream 3, Scream
4. He was in 4 too. Extended innings. No, he was in it. He's in Scream 4.
Yep, yeah, it was.
And that's all of them, right?
I thought they did 5. I could be wrong about that, too. I think I've only seen...
Like later on, huh? They...
Yeah, did a weird sort of sequel to it.
I don't know, man.
Deputy Dewey.
David Arquette was also in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Yeah, he was.
Was. He played Luke Perry's best friend.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Remember, he was like, let me in, man. He's like, I'm hungry. You're floating.
Because that's from Salem's Lot.
That was pretty funny.
Plus Pee Wee Herman, wasn't it? And he taps the stake in his chest.
Yeah.
The stomp.
The kick to the doorframe.
I think how Joss Whedon hates that movie because it was nothing like his like original thing for him. Like, I like that movie way better than any of the episodes you did of the show.
I love that movie.
That's fantastic. Rutger Hauer, you shitting me? Come on, man.
That movie was oddly one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Me too.
Yeah.
It's one of those ones that...
You do know he wrote the movie, right? Joss Whedon?
Yeah.
Okay.
But he talks about it. He openly hates that movie.
Yeah, okay.
Because it's not what he wanted to do at all.
Yeah, he wanted to make it a horror movie.
Yeah. And they're like, nah. And he's like, okay. He didn't have very much pull in Hollywood back then.
You don't think he had a pull in 1992?
Nah.
All that work he had streaming in? Beep, beep, beep.
What if we went comedy with Face Off and you casted like Danny DeVito and Josh Gad?
I mean, you could.
That's the Face Off.
I wouldn't, but you could. Yes,
you're gonna have to make DeVito a little bit taller. But
movie that's magic. The problem. Yeah,
yeah, that's the one issue.
Not a problem at all.
One issue. Or at least they address it in the surgery and they cut like a section of
they could totally do that here.
Yeah. Well, there's that one sci-fi movie.
What they need to do is you need to give that out for Josh Gad's character to need to be short again.
Yeah.
So they cut his out and give it to Danny DeVito to make him taller.
That's a big swing right there. Yeah, that's a good point.
Because the same reason they were going to destroy the face, but he was in a coma. We can wait. And he's like, well, give me the face. And he's like, I'm going to come after him because they didn't realize, obviously. Mm-hmm. And then like, oh, he took your face.
Off
the thing we had it waiting for you to use when you got back. They could do the same thing, be like, well, I don't need those bones, just fuse these back together, crazy computer.
I don't need them
doctor.
Bones.
Computer
thing. And then now he's the same size as Danny DeVito, conveniently.
If Danny DeVito can be Arnold Schwarzenegger's twin, he could be the same size.
Yeah, but they explain that
as Josh Gad.
They explain that in the movie.
Danny DeVito also played Johnny Cash in a biopic. In a universe that exists somewhere.
I mean, granted. Hey, remember how bad Dollhouse was? Remember that show?
Nope, yeah. Never watched it.
It was a Joss Whedon show. Fuck, it was a that show. Fucking terrible show. Yeah.
Anyhow. You guys want to talk about It too?
It Chapter 2?
Yeah, that one. We just watched it.
We did just watch it.
We might say something about it.
It was good.
You want to do our normal?
Yeah.
Michael.
Yeah.
We'll start with Joe.
Okay. Switcheroos.
Yeah. Did you like it, yes or no? Three favorite things, one thing you were surprised by.
It was good. I really did like it.
Okay.
So three things that I really like about it. First thing is, at least with the It universe. The two movies together. It falls right in the wheelhouse of what type of horror that I like.
Yeah.
And I know we've gone over this before. So, like, as an example, I'm really good. I really love the like ghost stories, the paranormal stuff. I really hate gore for the sake of gore stuff. So, as an example, like I don't like the Saw movies.
Pass the first one.
At all?
Oh, you didn't like the first one yet?
I never even. Oh, no, I'm not gonna. And I admit that I've never seen a Saw movie from beginning to end. And
but they're not your type of things. You're not gonna watch.
I know that they're not. That they're not like all blood, gore, guts, blah blah blah.
The first one definitely is not. Not as much.
It's.
But then it very
more,
quickly.
It's a lot more suspense type of things because
three just fucking
some of the stuff that I have seen from it were more of just like, God, it's so fucking suspenseful.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen type of thing.
Thriller stuff more than anything else.
But yeah, it's just not my, cup of tea. I know they're really respected movies and they're supposed to be pretty good movies.
You don't have to apologize for not liking them.
Fuck those no, movies. I'm not saying that I don't like them. I'm just saying that
they're not your bag. They're not your fucking bag. Yeah.
I'm not going to go to a movie, especially and review a movie that I don't really like. That
as you shouldn't.
Type of present.
As yeah, you shouldn't.
You know,
which is a good rule for all critics to live by.
Yes.
Right? It should be the rule critics live by.
Yeah.
It should be critics. The rule they live by.
Yeah,
like, definitely. That's the thing. If I don't know how to build a house, I'm not going to critique somebody building a house.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? I don't think that wall should go there.
I would leave that up
to
Cody. Get
the fuck out of here.
What was that other movie that you wanted to go see? No. Because what was that other movie that you wanted to go see that...
The Rob Zombie one?
No, not the Rob Zombie one. This was like last year, I think it was, where it's that girl who eats all the who gets a taste for meat.
Raw. I really want to see.
And
it.
I really did watch it. And for me, I'm like that premise. I don't like that premise at all. It's too gory and creepy.
Yeah.
For me,
for sure.
But I would trust your review of that movie because that's the type of movie you like. Period.
I thought, I'm not gonna build a house. That's a terrible decision.
Oh God, no.
Yeah, I'm like metal. I think I don't know. Is that a good idea?
Wood. Not I got wood.
Is it? You know, there's wood
can
in
you
it,
start
right?
With wood. Yeah.
Eventually. Oh, not that kind of wood, Mike. You sicko.
Oh, I thought you were talking about.
I'm not gonna build a house with my
erect
boner.
Erect penises
and
vaginas.
There you go. Erect vaginas. Mike doesn't know anatomy. He loves erect vagina.
Yeah, he loves erect vagina.
that's how you know they're happy.
Because they're erect. Not erect, they are erect, as in W. Anyhow, your second point.
So what I'm saying, well, no, just to finish off my first point. So I love the horror in this movie. It's very supernatural. It is some jump scares, but not a whole lot of jump
And you prefer
scares.
The monster version of a horror movie versus like a slasher film type
one,
yeah,
right? Versus like a slasher film. Now, don't get me wrong. There still are gory scenes in it. I can handle my gore, but I just don't like gore for the sake of gore. Yeah. I don't like this.
You don't like Hostel.
For the sake of horror.
You don't like
exactly.
Hostel. Yeah,
yeah.
Gotcha.
I'm not into that type of stuff.
Mike loves that stuff.
So a lot of the scenes here, you know, they are on the edge of your seat type of good scares. But they're not, again, they're not really, they're building up something, you know, you can see Pennywise in the background. So it's not like, you know, trying to jump scare you, or trying to just, you know, gore you out. But, so I love all the horror in this movie, because of that, you know, especially like the little,
Dragonfly?
Not Dragonfly.
Or the
Firefly.
Firefly, yeah.
You know,
the girls
so cool. Following the Firefly.
That's so cool.
And you get to see Pennywise, you know, right in the background, just barely visible behind
her. You see, like,
her,
like the silhouette-ish?
The silhouette of his face.
I was like, oh, God.
And then once he has that Firefly, the acting that he has to do right there with that lighting.
That fucking kid is so good.
Right? So good. So I loved all of the horror aspects of this the movie. It's a continuation of the, if you loved all the horror from the first movie,
just,
it's just a continuation of
and
it.
It's and bigger. It's
absolutely fantastic. Yep. And speaking of that, too, with the horror, I love that we did see, you know, obviously we saw stuff in the trailers, but they kind of marveled us in the
that
trailer.
One with clip they gave
that
us.
That one
yeah.
clip that they gave us with Beth, who was visiting that old lady in
Beverly.
Beverly, sorry. Don't know why I was thinking Beth.
Because they call her Bev.
Bev, yeah. In what would what was her home when she was a kid, she's visiting it now with the old lady that's there. And what we see in the trailer eventually is the old lady running at the girl, running at Bev, and it's a real quick cut. But here, obviously, it's much more extended. But it's not
the same.
The same lady. It's this giant, like I don't know, witch troll type lady.
Yeah, it's like it's the old lady, but like morphed into like a monsterish
yeah.
version.
And it was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it was so good.
So I love the horror
and terrifying.
And. The to continue on from the original movie as well, the acting of the kids is just so fantastic.
They're all so good.
Something like a renaissance of like just children actors.
Dude,
it seems
it takes a special
so
that.
So good. But to actually get a cast of older adults that could definitely be older versions of these kids.
So, I watched an interview with Annie Muschietti about that.
Uh huh.
They actually had actors in mind for the adults and then casted the kids to
so they went
go
reverse.
Yeah, not for not all of them. It was just like James McAvoy, Bill Hader. Well, Bill Hader was a weird thing because Bill Hader was actually brought up because of Finn Wolfhard, the actor, the kid who plays Richie.
Yeah.
He's the one that recommended Bill Hader for it.
Wow.
During that whole thing, because he was one of the first kids casted due to the fact that he was in Stranger Things, and
right.
he was obviously he's an amazing actor. And so they took that, and then but they had James McAvoy in mind already, and they had Jessica Chastain as adult Beverly, mm-hmm. and then they found young actors that would kind of fit that role, and then the other ones were kind of like, and they casted them essentially at the same time. Before they had anything, and then they basically didn't hire anybody, but these had that's who they had in mind. Mm-hmm. And then once they went through everything, like yeah, we're getting a chapter two. Then they reached out to them and said, hey, like we're interested in having Isaiah Mustafa for Mike Hanlon and stuff like that. So it was really interesting the way they did it.
That's cool.
Yeah, and the fact that Bill Hader even brought up the fact like Finn Wolfhard's the one reason he got the job.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, yeah, okay.
Yeah, and to go along with that, I had read a behind-the-scenes thing where the kids were actually, the adult versions of the kids, you know, got together with the kids and kind of learned the mannerisms from mm-hmm. the kids of the first movie.
Yep.
So I'm trying to remember who was it. It was the, who was it that would hold his arm and just like kind of.
Stan Uris.
It was Stan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would like hold his arm in such a way, and so that was like things that you can see that the older version of him
yeah.
would mimic as well. It's absolutely fantastic. The acting in this in the whole entire movie is absolutely fantastic. It still gets me how the younger Ben does the stuttering and Bill does the stuttering and James McAvoy. Slowly starts to do the stuttering as he gets more and more into Derry, as
yeah.
he gets more and more into trying to fight it.
Yep.
So the acting is just absolutely fantastic in this movie. Number three, visuals in the movies is absolutely awesome. The sound in the movie is absolutely awesome. And just there's so much that of this movie that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
I can't think really specifically, I can't pick a like specific scene or anything that is my favorite because there's just so many that
yeah.
were awesome.
So
it's a nearly 3-hour movie, and I know you guys were making fun of me beforehand because I'm the one here with like the
girl
small bladder,
but
I held through this thing 3 hours.
Unlike
Mike, had to go.
Yeah,
I had to cough.
but it's mm-hmm.
My work called me like four times. I was like, oh no.
I had to take a call in the bathroom with my penis.
But it's also a testament of how well put together this movie is, just like the original one, where it doesn't feel like 3 hours. You're just boom, 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 done,
going, going. When they went into, like, when they went to the house on Ebol Street, I was like, wait a minute, already?
Right.
Because, there's a bunch of scenes I haven't seen already. So I was like, okay, that's where, in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, I know that that's now going to happen here. I get it because of the thing that happens and stuff. Then I was like, what? How long have we been watching this movie? Because didn't it start like 20 minutes ago?
Yeah, no, and it's been like 2 hours.
Yeah, I was like, oh, no, we in the final stretch.
It flows very
nicely. Yeah. It's just really well done.
I was like, oh, we good 2 hours into this shit, ain't we? Mm-hmm. God damn. All right.
And much like the first one, it seems to, like, once it just takes the first 10 minutes to set things up, and then it's just action.
Yeah, dude, it's just like
a little bit of lull, action.
Yeah, and then the lull is like literally giving you a self, like a
but it's still like telling a story,
like a false sense of security, like, okay, oh, nah, shit, okay, here we go.
Yeah, when Bill Hader sits down on the bench and suddenly it's just, that was the only scene that gave me a jump.
Oh, you mean when, much like when Finn was on the bench?
No, Bill Hader. Wasn't it Bill Hader? With
he was standing up.
Paul Bunyan?
So Finn was the one sitting on the bench after he got...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah. It was him. Yeah, they did a flashback to...
Yeah, and then he was in the park when Pennywise is on his shoulder.
So much like in the first movie, where the real jump scare for me, the only real one in the movie, was the projector scene when he just suddenly shoots out of the projector.
Oh, so fucking good.
That one here is the Paul Bunyan one where, you're right, when Finn is... he's sitting on the bench and just Paul Bunyan suddenly fucking right there.
And he's transformed.
And the bats are coming out of the mouth, and it's just trying to hit him and just
so good.
Scrapes the ground with his fucking axe. Axe was it?
What no, it was the is the logging pole.
Logging
thing.
Pole,
I don't know what it's
whatever.
Called, but it's the
pole. It has like the hook on the end and the point. Absolutely fantastic.
Logging spear, I guess?
Something like that.
Mike, what's that thing called?
Fire poker.
Fire poker?
Fair enough.
As far as surprises, I don't really think there's much to be surprised about. I suppose if I read the book beforehand, I probably would be surprised of like what was in the movie, what wasn't in the movie.
Yeah.
I just haven't gotten to that book for Stephen King. I think the last time I said I had like four more books before
something
I get
like
to
that,
it.
Yeah.
Something like that. But I do kind of know the plot of it. I have seen the original of it. Well, I say the original, the made for TV version,
the miniseries.
So there really wasn't anything I was surprised about, I would say, especially this being a direct continuance. Individual Black Iron Hearth Tools poker. Okay.
Well, it's essentially what it is, but his is a giant one for logging.
It's a poker.
Well, Paul Bunyan's a big man.
Yeah, it's a big
poker. Big fire, yeah.
So that's it for me.
All right. Michael, your thoughts? Three things you liked, and then if you have a surprise.
I dug the movie. I thought it was good. The three things I like... is that the casting is the main one, because I wanted to say like Bill Hader was great, but Bryce Dallas Howard and James McAvoy. Who was it?
Jessica Chastain.
Oh fuck, yeah, sorry.
This is not Jurassic World.
Mixing up your heads.
Fuck, dude. Sorry.
That's something I would do. Stop it.
But she was great in it. She was really, really good. But Bill Hader kind of stood out, because I mean that character is gonna be.
I mean, Wolf, you know, Finhard's version of it when he was younger was that same thing. He was like the.
But you knew from watching the first one, you're like, this kid as a grown up in the second movie is gonna be the funnest one to watch. So it was cool. So the casting was great. This is like a weird thing. It's because I enjoyed the first one more, but I like and I haven't read the book, but I like how the second one is a different. Movie. It's a different type of movie.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The first one was way more Pennywise. Like, way more. And Bill Skarsgård, right? The guy who plays Pennywise, is so fucking good at it that I want to see more of him. But with that being said, it goes along so well because it is a different. It's almost like a different genre of movie. It's still a scary movie. It's still like a thriller suspense, but it's a little bit more slow burn in this one. And it's a little bit more just like, oh God, everything's fucked up. But it's not so much. I mean, they all have one interaction with Pennywise in some way.
In the first movie?
No, in the second one. In
this one, yeah. So they go off to find their own totems, and they have their individual experience.
Yeah, they have individual, which is basically like a combination of them reliving a past one and then a current one.
Yeah, so there's each of them get that one, in this movie, one interaction with Pennywise.
And then at the end they get another one. And
then at the end you have the team up kind of thing, which is a cool way to do it because I didn't know. I had a rough understanding because I've seen the OG TV movie one. So I knew like it was the adults and it was slightly different style and they had to go in, they had flashbacks, blah, blah, blah. So I just knew it was going to be a little bit different, but I liked the fact that they kind of made a different style movie. That really, if you just released this movie and you never did the first one, you have a pretty good vibe of what the movie is. Like, you don't really need the first movie.
No, not at all.
Like, so if you didn't see, for whatever reason, it, but you're like...
They recapped a lot of it.
You get pulled, you know, with a group of friends to go watch Chapter 2, you're going to enjoy it. It's a very well movie, and it stands on its own very, very well, especially since the fact you have the flashbacks, and it kind of, without being so obvious about it, it kind of gives you a summary of the whole first one without, like, previously, you know?
Yeah.
Previously, dot.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool. And then the visuals are gnarly. That was my third favorite things. You mentioned earlier with the firebug
thing.
Firefly.
And it just dimly lighting up.
Like they mask it so well. Yeah. So it's just the tops of his hands and then his just as perfectly his face.
But you can kind of see. Like he's like reaching out of the darkness, and it's such a great visual.
As he's just enveloping him, but like he's breaching a little bit, but only like the parts that the light is touching. And I was
good. And so you get way less Pennywise in this movie of just like a regular Pennywise, you know, human being running around being creepy.
He's more monstrous in this one,
but yeah, he's way more monstrous in this one because he's revealing himself as. You know, the younger girl on fire at that one point, the giant old naked lady, just all these crazy different incarnations. But there's a little bit of Pennywise in every single one of them. Like you could tell it's Pennywise. And I loved how they did that because they could have just made all these creatures look different because they're different, like completely different creatures. And then through the course of each scene of him being a monster, he varies his size in every single scene. He's either growing, shrinking, or shaping himself differently through the course of you seeing him. And it's such a creepy effect because some of them are done like real obviously, like when all of a sudden she's a giant naked lady, old lady running at you and you have to duck, you know, to get to room, or when he's chasing the one kid in the locker in the hallway. And his face, at first you're like, why does his face look weird? But it's just a slow distortion. And he's not just getting bigger, he's like his chin's going down, his head's going up, but it's also oblong, morphing to the right. So it's just this weird oblong face thing. And so how they distorted him and changed his size every single time and was a constantly evolving thing, which holds cool with like the premise of it, because the premise of it is it kind of feeds off fear. It wants fear. And so the more it gets, the more powerful it becomes, and it's you don't know what its true form is, so it kind of is always in flux. And I love that idea about it. And I'm not really surprised about anything, because I mean, again, I didn't read the book, but the story is pretty well known, especially if you've seen old ones, you know what I mean, and you're kind of
You have an idea of what's going on.
What actually did surprise me is that it was a relatively happy ending. Like everything's cool and they're all good. You know what I mean? Like they didn't give you anything at the end where I was really thinking like
they didn't give you the mist.
Yeah. Or like a red balloon floating in the background or one of the shots and that's how it cut to credits or like just something, you know, like one of their items, their artifacts showing up. Like I was expecting something. Like when James McAvoy went and hung up the phone, I was really expecting him to move the mail and see the boat. like something, as just something like that, you know, just to be like, ah, fuck you, and then like
still
that.
Alive. Yeah, you guys didn't actually get me.
Yeah, but we didn't get any of that, which is also kind of cool too, because like you're like, all right, it's done.
It's a done story.
It's a done story. It's completed. So I'm happy with it though. I dug it.
Yeah.
Cody.
Email. I enjoyed it a lot. Mm-hmm. I truly hope that Andy Muschietti gets a chance to make his supercut or his director's cut, because I'd love to watch the fucking 8-hour long fucking version of this thing just all together.
I'd watch the Tarantino cut of that.
Yeah, like it'd be amazing. Like just
on Netflix.
Yeah,
fuck yeah.
But because the cool thing about the second chapter two is it felt. The storytelling wise with like the mixed in flashbacks and stuff was very similar to how the book was, because the book told you the point of view a lot from the kid, things that happened to the kids from the adult's point of view. And then there's a whole section of just the kids. And obviously in the first movie in chapter one, it was all just, they're just the kids, mm-hmm. Which is, I think, a better way of telling that portion of the story. So the things I liked, the three things I liked about it is, I loved the severity and the monstrousness of the reemergence of him, because the fact that he's at the end of his cycle, mm-hmm. and in chapter one he's mid cycle when they face him, and they're obviously more kind of integrated into it because of Georgie and all that fun stuff. But in this one, Mike even tells him like, "Hey, it's back, but it's like the more things have been happening." You know what I mean? Like it's more brazen, because now it's not just kids. Like he takes an adult in front of another adult, essentially, when he takes Adrian Melling at the beginning of the movie. So you're like, oh, okay. Like this is different. Like he's angry. Like he's super angry.
Yeah. The last cycle, he was kind of cut off halfway through his cycle. So he's going to be even more hungry, more brazen this time.
Yeah, exactly. And then the things with like the Firefly scene, I kept thinking in my mind, like, how did that play out in the book? Because I know it was very similar with the little girl. The little girl, it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was laundry. Her mom was putting laundry up on the lines out in the yard, and she ran around and she sees the red pom-poms. Okay. On his outfit, and then he gets her from there, and that's the first like child he takes, very similar to the way he does, like his first emergence is the whole Adrian Melon thing, with Adrian being beat up because he's gay and then thrown over the bridge by the bullies, and then his boyfriend seeing basically being eaten alive by Pennywise. And I just love that scene in this movie. It was so good. I love that scene, the way they did it, because mm-hmm. like I knew it was happening, I knew it was coming, but like just the veracity of the whole thing, of like they were just beating the fucking shit out of him, just like they did in the book, and then they toss his ass over into the water, and then they just go about their day, and then he runs down there and he sees him. He's like, you know, Adrian, and you see him.
How great was the dude in the water struggling because he got the shit kicked out of him, and you see from his point of view, you see the water and you see a shadow of Pennywise,
yeah,
and he's just reaching for help because he's gonna die. And then, like, it just, the clearer it gets, it's like, oh, God, it's so fucking creepy.
And he's right there, and his eyes are glowing. You're like, oh, this is it.
I was like, just go down the river, dude. Take your chances down the river.
It's going to get shallower, I think. Yeah, I love that scene so much. I love, like I said, I love the monstrousness of him and how, not just brazen, but, like, how, like, confident he was, too. Because he knew, I think he felt more the fear, because once they came back and their memories started coming back, the fear ramped up in them, mm-hmm. because they remembered all the shit they went through, and like it made him like rock hard. He's like, oh God, the adult fear is the best. Like maybe I should have let some of them go. You know what I mean? Like, you know, he's like, he was feeding off even more, and you could see it in every version. Like in Bev's old apartment, he masked the whole building to her to make it look like it was better looking than it was. And then you saw little pieces that it wasn't, you know what I mean? Like, and then of course, especially when she transforms into the crazy troll lady, she runs in the hallway and you see it's all dilapidated and run down. But then when you look back, the other room is still clean and vibrant, and you're like, holy shit! But the hallway's fucked up, and then it swings open to what was her room, and it's Pennywise putting on his makeup, which is one of the best scenes ever.
Oh my god, right.
Because it was like this reverse makeup thing, mm-hmm. where like normally it's like, oh, I'm taking the makeup off. Now he's putting on the grease paint, and then he scratches the fucking marks into his face, and you can see Pennywise literally pulling out of the skin. I was like, god damn, this is amazing.
Yeah, it was really good, that scene.
Oh god, it was so good. Second thing, I loved the actors in it. I thought they did an amazing job with chapter one, and I think they did an amazing job with chapter two, because other than Ben, everybody looked literally like an adult version of the kid.
Yeah.
It was insane. I was like, all right, well, I don't know if you guys have time machines and these are just them, but this is insane.
Yeah.
Like this is insane. And I thought like everything from like you were saying with like the mannerisms they had, even Mike stammering, like mm-hmm. when he's trying to get their attention, and just like he was in the first one where he was like, he was very self-conscious, but like trying to get like, no, listen to me. Like I know like what I'm talking about, and like, I can't, he has a hard time explaining himself and things like to him. So he gets frustrated. I loved adult Richie and loved adult Eddie. They were counterparts to each other,
yeah.
but so well done, because they didn't grow up and get better.
No,
they grew up and got worse.
Yeah.
Like Eddie was, you would think, cause at the end of chapter one, he knows about the gazebos, placebos. He calls them gazebos. So you think, oh, he's going to go away from that. He still has inhalers.
In fact, he even marries his mom, literally.
Literally marries his mom because the same actress, which was fucking
hilarious.
Amazingly done, by the way. Because I heard her, I was like, wow, this is really, like, that's a really good impression of that lady. And they show her, I was like, oh, that's because it is this literally the same lady?
Yeah.
I was like, this is the best thing you could possibly do.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Richie is... so well done, and he's just still a fucking mess,
mm-hmm.
and he's still this doubter and coward like he was, and blaming other people for things, and you know, obviously, not to spoil anything, but the character wise you know why, things like that. So well done. The third thing I liked about it was I would have to say the effects. Like,
they're really well done. There was a scene that was a little weird with the de-aging of the kids.
Yeah. There's a few. The de-aging of the kids.
Yeah, the de-aging of the kids was unfortunately rough in a couple patches. Some of them were tremendous. I was like, oh, it's actually... But it's like, it's almost like the ones like they were like a close-up on them, like almost like a still.
Mm-hmm.
You're like...
But that's always how it is. Anytime they de-age anybody, even in the Marvel movies where they de-age like Michael Douglas, it's
if
like
they stop.
There's certain angles where it's just like, that's fucking amazing. But then there's some of those like head on and you're like,
no, nope.
It's like, it's right, but you just know there's something not perfect about it. Like, you just know it's not real.
Yep.
So it's almost like that, like those deep fake things that go around the internet where it's like, it sounds just like this person saying these things that you never said it, but the cadence and like the breathing,
it's not perfect.
It's not quite right. You know there's something off on
it. It's like a passable impression.
Yeah. It's like a great impression, but you're an impression still.
Yeah. You can still see it's not that person. That was the only thing, but I think they did a really, really good job with the effects. I mean, especially the end part where he's just enormous.
Oh my god, right?
I was like, yo, this scary.
Yeah.
Like, ew.
Knowing, because you're the only one of this group right now that's read the book. You've obviously seen the original series and this one right here. How did that very final... his true form compared to like the book and to the original TV series, because I remember the TV series, he's more of a creature, less of a Pennywise clown spider type thing. And how is that compared to the book?
They're both different than the book,
mm-hmm.
but they're both like, this one was, so the new one, chapter two, is closer but also not right.
Okay.
So he does, when they finally get to the door, this one was a hatch, the other one was a door, which was weird to me because they showed the door in the first movie.
Yes.
On the side of the
The carnival,
the little
wagon.
Yeah. So they showed it and like they showed it open, meaning he's out. But like this, they made it a hatch. The book, it was a door affixed into the side of the cave, mm-hmm. which is they in this they use it as the crevice. That was very different. Because once you go past that, once you breach that point, you're into where the meteorite hit when it crashed, and it links that. That the two worlds, so the book is way more supernatural, which is hard to say because like there's it's monsters and shit.
Yeah, supernatural.
Because in the book, spoiler alert for any, and you'll forget about this, so it doesn't matter.
I don't have that bad of a memory.
No, it's just because it's not going to make difference to you until you get there, and then you'll remember I said it. But fair. It was not going to ruin it for you.
Fair.
But in the book. The defeating of Pennywise or it was different because it's you find out Bill has the shine.
Oh.
And he the one thing you're not supposed to do is stare at the deadlights.
Right.
As we saw with Bev, we saw with Richie this time. And a little bit of Mike. I did love that fucking shot though of when he zapped Richie. And his mouth opens up, and you see the deadlights behind it.
Yeah.
Then you see the cameras panning behind it, and there's the opening, just like the opposite of the mouth with the hair split, and you see the light coming down. I was like, oh, this is so good. So in the book, Bill remembers something that is said to him, very similar to like he does in this one, that Richie says to him in this, because at this point, Richie's dead in both parts. Spoiler alert. I guess I should have said. Bill says, no, I think that's, we have to defeat his true form. That's it. Something like that. And then he stares at it, but he breaks the gaze. So he doesn't get locked in. He then transports mentally through using the shine into the deadlights. He travels through to the outpost and he sees the dead turtle. And he's like, oh, now I know all these things. Same thing, because they have the same vision walk thing they did with the cactus juice or the root. And so he sees this, and he goes, and he finally sees the deadlights for what they are. And they're literally like the mingling of those lights spinning around, whatever. And then he basically says, oh, like that's, I just have to break this, the link between this realm and that. Like if I can sever it, he's dead. That's essentially what he is, and he uses the shine to force it out. And then when he comes back, they're able to kill the physical form that he takes, which is this weird, at that point, monstrous spider thing.
Okay.
So very, very similar. That's why there's a spider in both the original miniseries. Terribly done in the original miniseries, but
it was
TV money, so like you know, it's not like it is now.
TV money in, what, 94 or something like that,
right? 92, I think, right? Yeah. And the versus like, movie money now right. is drastically different, but yeah, very very similar with it. The biggest thing in the book, obviously, again, spoilers, Stan's already dead. Richie, so in the cave is just Ben, Bev, Bill, Richie, and Eddie. Mike is in the hospital because he actually gets stabbed. And his arm is broken by Henry Bowers before he's killed. So it's just the five of them. Richie gets taken out. Ben gets knocked out. And then Bill goes into the shine. And then it's basically so it's just Bev and Richie. And then Ben wakes up. And then that's when Bill comes back and they defeat him, if I remember correctly. So there's a little bit of disparity there. Okay. But Bill is fighting because at that point his wife has been taken by it. Very reminiscent to the way Bev was taken in chapter one. And she's been absorbed into the deadlights. And she's held up against this wall. in the inside, because like Bev was outside, this is inside the area, and so he's then trying to save her, and there's this whole thing of after they defeat it, she's still catatonic, and so he has to break her of it, and he does that by bringing her down memory lane, as they say.
Uh-huh.
And she basically takes a ride on Silver down a hill, the big hill that you see at the end of this movie. Mike's about to drive up in the car. He's taking her down on the bike in that, and she wakes up. The two adults on the adult size bike and stuff like that. So little things like that were left out for reasons. I'm pretty sure for timing, because it's a whole lot of shit in there.
It's a 3-hour movie. Adding little stuff like that, which adds to the plot of a book, but doesn't really add much to the plot of the movie.
Easy to do on a written page, but harder to do on a motion picture.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's the only really big difference there, but for the most part it's the same. Like the biggest thing that I loved about that whole thing is that they did use adult Henry Bowers as a fucking psychopath killer in that part where he stabs Eddie in the face.
That scene. When they first show the older version of him, I was like, I can't believe they got Brian Regan to play this character.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fucking crazy. And then I was like, oh no, it's not Brian Regan.
Yeah. And the whole thing with Patrick Hopstetter being like the dead zombie one and still driving the car and stuff was like perfect, because that's what happens in the book. Yeah, except the difference in this one, instead of just being the balloon, he sees Pennywise's face in the moon. The moon talks to him.
Okay.
And obviously he's in a loony bin because he's been committed for, well, because in the book too, if I'm not mistaken, he's blamed for the murders because they find him amongst the bodies.
Oh, okay.
Very similar to the way it flushes out and he's there.
Yeah.
Instead of going back to his house and like all the cops are there because of his dad, they literally find him amongst all the missing children.
And he's the only one alive, so.
Yeah, and they have evidence that he just killed his father.
Dad. Yeah.
And they're like, oh, like, these kids are all missing. We already know you're a delinquent.
Yeah.
You just murdered your dad. Probably because he's a good cop, which, by the way, he was not.
Not a good cop at all.
He discovered this. You killed him.
Nobody in that town is good. They're all trash people.
Yeah, for sure. So there's that. So, well, like,
in Stephen King's world, like, Derry is a very concentrated evil place.
So, but yeah, that's about it.
Cool.
Yeah. I did love it, though. And I do really hope he gets a chance to make that that mega cut.
Oh my god.
Cuz it'd be amazing.
Throw it on Netflix, throw it on Amazon Prime.
Do whatever. Like, it's just
do whatever. I want to be able to watch it. It's going to be just absolutely fantastic. We know that it works cuz Quentin Tarantino did it.
And hopefully he's going to do it again. I really do hope he goes forward and does it with Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it if he does.
I want to see those extra scenes with Charles Manson that we didn't get to see.
Right.
Which, by the way, I didn't realize this. The actor who plays Charles Manson in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he also plays Charles Manson in Mindhunters on Netflix.
Oh, didn't know that either, yeah.
I was watching it, and I was like, God damn, this guy. Typecast. I was like, this guy looks exactly the same.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to ride this Manson train till the wheels fall off.
Yeah, because the difference is, at this point in Mindhunters, it's in the 80s, early 80s, so he has a beard at this point, and he still has his hair as long. But I was like, man, that guy really looks like, and I looked up, I was like, oh, it's the same fucking guy, that's why. That makes way more sense.
All right.
He's fucking terrifying, by the way.
Well, I mean, the little bits that he played in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he seemed like he could be very terrifying. Yeah. Obviously, you don't really see him do much in it, but
unfortunately,
he has that very nice guy, but could be a psychopath on the end of it. Before we do go real quick, I did want to ask, since again you were the only one that has read the books.
Yes.
Is there anything from the book that you wanted to see in the movie, that you were hoping to see in the movie, that wasn't in the movie?
Yes. In the book, he does a really good job of describing the monster forms that he takes. Mm-hmm. Things like the werewolf and the mummy, which you get glimpses of in both versions, because at one point you see the mummy head, and then you see what everyone says is the werewolf hands, but I'm not truly convinced it is that the mummy hand or the werewolf hand comes out of the glove, but whatever. The one thing that always gripped me from the book the most was adult Ben in the library back in Derry, and he sees a red balloon, mm-hmm. and he looks up, and the library's got people in it, right? He looks up, and on the banister of the second level, he sees what looks to be like a classic Dracula vampire, but instead of like the sharp incisors, you know, like the canines, or like Pennywise always has the gnarly teeth, the teeth are essentially razor blades, and as he smiles and talks, the blades are digging into his lips. And so he starts to bleed into like in on himself, and it's like it looks like slobber in a way.
Yeah.
And it's in the book, it just, I was like, holy shit, that's fucking insane. Like the way they did it.
Yeah, that'd be a really cool visual.
Yeah, like I was like, oh, that's fucking gnarly. Instead, they did the school thing, which in the context of the story for the movie, it makes more sense because he's looking for his totem, mm-hmm. and he realizes that it's the moment he met Bev for the first time, which he mistakes for the classroom, but it's really the outside of the school, and she signs his
yearbook,
and obviously keeps that page in there. And if you were paying attention when he was getting the phone call, he thumbs it from in his wallet, you see it, and you see the little hearts that she drew, and you're like, oh, that's the page from the yearbook.
With regards to the totems real quick, I had totally, when they started throwing everything into the fire, I totally forgot that that Bill had the little boat that he gave Georgie.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there going,
the SS Georgie.
They played up the bike so much. I was like, how is he going to throw parts of the bike into this fire? Yeah. And they pulled out the boat, and I was like, oh, I'm dumb. That's right. I totally forgot that he had that at all. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Yep. Boom. There you go. Got the producer giving us the wrap-up signal, so we got to go.
Yep.
Yep. And he gave us the tap on the wrist thing, too, for the time. Yeah. Yikes. Ooh. We're not even that far over. I mean, whatever. Anyhow, that's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally. Pew, 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 Mike says with his hands.